Money Control presents Pitchcraft in collaboration with Seed to Scale.
Hello and welcome to yet another episode of Pitchcraft, where we take you through the pitch decks of some of India's most successful startups. On this episode, we feature e-commerce platform Meesho. But before we delve into the Meesho pitch deck, here's a look at its journey. Meesho, founded by IIT Delhi batchmates Philip Athrey and Sanjeev Banwal in December 2015, started out as a social commerce channel where a reseller would buy products from the supplier and sell it via platforms such as WhatsApp. But not anymore. Today, Meesho is a leading e-commerce platform that competes with the likes of Flipkart and Amazon. Its rapid expansion and execution has helped it emerge as a challenger in India's e-commerce space. Meesho is making a play for the price over convenience market or the value segment. It's going after the next billion users in big and small cities for customers who spend less than Rs. 600. Its investors include names such as SoftBank, Facebook, Prosus, P Capital, Y Combinator, Elevation Capital, and Peak 15, among others. Meesho has been gaining share primarily through its strategic focus on Tier 2 cities due to its mass positioning operating through a zero commission model. Apart from Amazon and Flipkart, Meesho also has to compete with large conglomerates such as Tata and Reliance, and also quick commerce players who are expanding outside grocery. For FY23, Meesho halved its losses to Rs. 1,675 crore from Rs. 3,251 crore in FY22. At the same time, the company said its revenues from operations grew 77% from Rs. 3,232 crore in FY22 to Rs. 5,735 crore in FY23 as existing customers transacted more on the platform and monetization efforts yielded results during the year. Hello and welcome to this latest episode of Pitchcraft. Vidit, welcome to Pitchcraft. It's great to be at this new Meesho office. I think this is your owned space. The last time we met, I think it was at a WeWork office, and we heard to deconstruct the Meesho pitch deck, I think from 2017, 7 years ago. Tell us a little about this, because when I look at this today, the Meesho of 2024 is very different from the Meesho of 2017, starting from the first slide. You know, you were experimenting with social commerce, the reseller model then. So take us through your very first pitch deck. What went into it? Did you work on it? What was your main pitch to VCs then?
Sure. First of all, thank you so much, Chandra, for being here, for seeing our new office. You're absolutely right. We have our office for the first time since like the pandemic happened, which is 4 years ago. So we are quite excited. We just recently moved here. Now just talking about the deck, at that point in time, I think we had a very interesting non-linear journey in the first few years. When we started the business at that point in time, we had the same mission statement. How do we really bring the small business economy online? And we did multiple experiments. We basically built a product that allowed small businesses to sell on social platforms like WhatsApp and Facebook. And like interestingly, we figured out that a lot of home entrepreneurs, right? These were like micro businesses, mostly led by women, were using social platforms to sell products online. And that's when we discovered this opportunity of what we eventually called resellers, because that's how they called themselves. And that's when basically we went deeper and deeper and deeper and realized that there's so many of homemakers in the country, right, who have great capability around curating products, selling products in their community because they're so social, especially on WhatsApp. And that's when we started to kind of build around this product. And the deck that you see is like back in 2017, as we were discovering more things about this opportunity, like we were communicating that opportunity to investors. So that's what it is about. I'm happy to kind of take you through some of the details that you find more interesting in this deck.
So was this a Series A deck? Because, you know, when you made this deck, you had already raised a seed round. You were part of the Y Combinator batch. So you kind of knew the drill, how to go about it. YC itself has a prescriptive process on, you know, how to put together a deck. So were those your reference points? How did you go about it?
So actually, our business changed a lot since we went to YC. When we went to YC, our business was about like shop creation tools for selling on social platforms, right? At that point in time, there was no homemakers, no resellers, no social selling. It was just enabling people to start their shops online. And when we went to YC,
like a Shopify.
Equivalent of that, but again, much more localized for our kind of businesses in the country. That's what we started in 2016. But when we went to YC, and even for a year after that, as we kept learning about this opportunity, that's when we identified this need for like lots of these homemakers who want to start their businesses, especially on social platforms.
Right. Take us through the deck with it. Did you work on this? Who helped you? Did you and Sanjeev kind of burn the midnight oil on this?
Yeah, by the way, like it was just both Sanjeev and I who did this. So everything that you see here, like I am the one who made this deck. So every single icon, every single text that you see. I think let me start with something which is the most important part of the deck. And I feel very important to also know that in our journey, right, Sanjeev and I, it's not that we were a very credible team. But what do I mean by that? It's not we have experience in e-commerce or social platforms beforehand, that we come with some unique insight that people believe that just because of our experience, they will fund us. Nor this opportunity is very obvious. Nowhere in the world, people had built a large business by enabling homemakers to sell online, right? So it's not a very obvious opportunity that you go out and tell investors and suddenly they will jump at this opportunity. It was not going to happen. So the most important part of this deck is basically our traction of how our numbers look like, how fast we were growing, because when something grows so fast, people get intrigued. People are interested to know what's happening, and that's when they want to know about the story, about the opportunity and everything else in the deck. So maybe, even though it's not the first few slides, I would ask you to go to the
first few slides is actually where you establish what social selling is, why social selling,
correct,
that sort of thing, right?
Correct.
And you also draw parallels with where this has worked. For instance, China, the Weidian model, which is tools for resellers on WeChat.
Correct.
So a similar model, that's where you kind of set the context. But according to you, it's the slides after that which are more important.
Correct.
Right?
So I think we'll come to all of them slightly later. If you go to slides from 10 to, I would say, 12, 10, 11, 12, 10 is basically on our growth, right? And if you can see, like from February, to March, to April, to May, to June of 2017, we were doubling every month.
Yeah.
And the most important thing is we were doubling every month without spending anything on marketing because we didn't have capital, right? So we had never advertised on Facebook, anywhere else. So all of this was happening because of the pull from these homemakers, from these resellers. They found so much value in our tool that we were just growing organically so fast. And I think this was the most interesting thing that like investors realize that, hey, even Elevation, when they basically saw this, they say, hey, how is this thing growing so fast? And then everyone was intrigued. Hey, we want to understand what this opportunity is. Can this be large? Can this be not large?
So they thought you were onto something, because if I look at November, it was about $3,314, right? In terms of GMV, monthly GMV. And that went up to 100,000 in what, 6 months?
Correct.
And you were doubling every month without advertising.
Absolutely. And I think the most important thing is until Feb, we did not have an app. So we were just running it on Facebook or WhatsApp groups. So you see, we launched the app in Feb, which we have written here.
And that's when you saw a huge spike.
Correct. Because then we are not limited by how many people we can chat with. Then the growth could be like really exponential. And you see from Feb to June, we are doubling every month. So I think that was the most interesting part of this. Some of the other traction numbers, if you see on the right side, same as with orders, you're doubling every month. Went from 500 orders to like 10,000 orders by doubling every month. You look at the right side, again, engagement on the app, pretty strong, even engagement. Like for example, an average user was spending 25 minutes on the app every day, which talks about that people are really...
What's the usual average? If this was Meesho's average, 25 minutes, why was it important to bring that out? What's the industry average?
Well, this number is closer to social platforms rather than transactional platforms.
Like
most people go on e-commerce platforms. If you see the retention is flat. After the first week, you see the retention is flat, which means there's no churn. Like people who stick to the app like forever after. And again, that's very important. Only when people really get strong value from a product, people show like such high stickiness. And as I said, like all of this was happening without giving any promos, any discounts, because we didn't have. So this is all organic retention, which is again quite solid again. I don't think there would be many other products having similar kind of retention.
Got it.
So the broader point I'm trying to make is this traction, the quality of this traction is what I think created a lot of this interest among people. And I think as a team also we knew that this is what really matters. If we need to build more confidence in the opportunity of like social selling and reselling, we need to kind of show this strong traction. So I used to also have another ritual. So all the like investors I was very close with, like I was meeting on a regular basis, I used to send them a monthly email. And I think I've shared it on Twitter as well, on LinkedIn as well. I used to share them a monthly email just with attraction numbers, few numbers, like orders, GMV, how fast is it growing every month. And it's like you get a mail in your mailbox every month which says, hey, we doubled again, and we doubled again, and we doubled again. And that's how we built
trust and confidence among investors.
That's how we built trust and credibility in an opportunity which is very non-obvious. Like I still remember the first time we went.
Do you still send these monthly emails with it?
We don't do that anymore. But that was the thing in the early days, right? Because we knew in our case, the business opportunity that we are asking people to invest in is not obvious.
What else did you tell them in terms of the market opportunity, in terms of the competitive landscape, in terms of the size of the market and how you can expand on it?
Correct. So I think you're absolutely right. The second thing which matters after this is, hey, this is growing fast, but how big this can be? Is this really a venture opportunity, right? Like there's a certain...
Because they always look for things that can scale, right?
Correct. Like a typical venture investor looking for a company that can become $1 billion company at one point in time. So this is looks like a good opportunity, but can this become large? And that's when some of the other parts, like really building out the story around what are we building, starts to come in. So if you just go to the first few slides, I think that's where we're trying to explain what really social selling is, right? I think one simple is that the number of homemakers out there who are interested in doing this is massive. And some bit of this, how did we build this confidence? If you see the first two slides, is even in the offline world, before like all these WhatsApps and social platforms came in, like homemakers used to be very, very social, and some bit of social selling was happening. You remember like kitty parties where people are selling products to each other.
Or you have Amway and Tupperware.
All of them have been built on some of this. So I'm saying it's like we also tried to kind of set context around, hey, even though the platform is new and the way in this is happening is new,
there is a community.
But social selling has been there forever. People have been doing it in kitty parties, people have been doing it through Amways and Tupperwares. Even a lot of women, by the way, start boutiques in their houses, right? Like for the same reason, because they know that they are good in fashion, they can use that curation capability to really start a business.
But then, you know, when you kind of pitched social selling in your deck, did you also consciously do it because, you know, 2017, 2016, there was already a Flipkart, there was already an Amazon. It was an established duopoly because I think Snapdeal by then, you know, it wasn't as formidable as it was. Paytm Mall was also a bit here and there. So were you conscious of the fact that, you know, if you pitch this as an e-commerce marketplace, people are going to say, hey, there's already Flipkart and Amazon, so, you know, what are you going to do here? And Flipkart and Amazon also have very deep pockets. So, again, did that play on your mind, which is why you chose this niche that, you know, VCs might not bite if you tell them e-commerce marketplace, but they will be interested if you show very good numbers with a different model within e-commerce.
Yeah, actually, I don't think we did all of this just because we want to be differentiated. I think we went very problem first. as I said, the whole journey has been, we really wanted to empower small businesses to come online. And as we kept learning, we kept iterating. There was no thought around what other people have done. How do we like do something which is different? I think it was just solving the problem, because even when we started, the reason, by the way, we started in this space back in 2015 is very simple. Like at that point in time, e-commerce in India was just about branded products and electronics, selling to tier one consumers. Like none of the small businesses around us were selling online. And 85% of India retail is small businesses, right? So we knew that someone has to solve this opportunity, and existing platforms are not doing a great job at it. So I think that we knew, but the question, like someone gives you this, you'll say, yeah, makes sense, but you tell us, how will you do it differently? And I think that's what we were trying to do. We kept experimenting, kept iterating. As I said, first we started a way of people creating those shops online, then to basically social selling, but it was just a way of really helping small businesses who want to come online, come online.
Right. How important was the deck for you to, you know, get that Series A round of funding? Because I think I went to the last page, your ask was $3 million.
Correct.
And you ended up raising, what, 3.2?
Yeah, it's Series, almost the same amount.
Almost the same amount. Did the deck play a crucial role, or was it the relationship that you had with some of these investors? Because I think while Elevation was a new investor, the others, you know, it was a pro rata round for them because they were already part of your previous seed round or whatever you called it then.
Yeah, the deck, by the way, is always a tool, right? So tool to communicate. Like, I don't think deck helps you raise round, but it's a great tool to structure the story so that you cover all the important elements of why people should fund this company, right? And I think as that tool, I think it did a good job. As I said, it covers the opportunity, the potential size of the opportunity, which comes a few slides after this, also gives you some sense of, hey, we're just not unique. Like in other emerging markets also, some behavior like this is growing. Then we talk about traction. So I think it just brings structure to the story that we want to communicate to investors. So deck tends to be a great tool, but at the end of the day, like people were funding the product that was growing fast, the team, and basically the opportunity and the vision that we have, not just then, but like 5-10 years down the line. And deck just brings structure to that. So I would say, I don't think people fund a deck, right? So deck is important, but obviously not the most important thing.
Right. So, you know, with it, if you have to make a deck today on Meesho, what would your first slide be? Because you have gone through so many changes in the last 7 years, right? From social selling to reselling to an e-commerce marketplace. So if you have to redo this deck, what would your first page be?
So I don't think the flow changes as much. Now what we start
the with... The four numbers will still be crucial for you, which is GMV growth and user retention and all that.
I think we've always, this is not just this round, but I would say even all the rounds after that, we always build credibility with our past performance, with any new investor. And people realize it when they see that, hey, this company can continue to consistently deliver on the things they communicate. And I think that's very important. The shareholder comes in because they trust that this team is the right team to deliver on this particular vision. And that's what we want to do. So we've always had traction at the center of any story that we've had. So I don't think that has changed. But obviously, our vision today is much more expanded. It's not limited to social selling, but it's helping every kind of small business in the country. So that's what we start with.
Right. Yeah. On that note, we heard from Vidit, but let's also bring on board, you know, the leading investor who wrote that Series A check for him, Mukul Arora of Elevation Capital, on the other side. Welcome back to Pitchcraft. As promised, we have Mukul Arora of Elevation Capital. Mukul, you led the Series A round for Meesho. It was an over $3 million round in 2017. But you sort of established connect with Vidit at least 1.5 years before that. Yeah. So tell us about how you all met and, you know, how did the conversations carry on for a year, and what finally convinced you to write that check? It took him, what, 1.5 years to convince you?
Chandra, first of all, thank you so much for the opportunity to be on the show, and more importantly, to relive some of the beautiful memories from early days of our partnership and how it all began. So, like you rightly said, Vidit and I had actually been in touch for more than 1.5 years before we finally invested. The way it started was Vidit had written to someone in our team over LinkedIn. This was super early days before they had raised any capital for a meeting. And I saw in first part of the show, even though Vidit was saying team didn't have any credentials or didn't have any great credentials, IIT, Delhi, electrical engineers in Mobi and Sanjeev was
ITC in Mobi and Sanjeev was in what, Tokyo, Sony Tokyo, yeah.
Sony Tokyo.
After IIT Delhi.
So in consumer tech, that's as good a credentials as you get in an early stage company. So the moment I saw they had reached out, I was very keen to connect. So that's how we got onto our first call in December 2015. So that was the beginning. Obviously, then through those 1.5 years, the business model evolved. Like Vidit spoke about early days, it was a tool for resellers to sell, and from there it evolved to marketplace. During those 1.5 years, few things became very clear, which finally came together and led to the decision to invest. One was, throughout I saw how customer obsessed Vidit and Sanjeev were, and how that was leading to iterations in the business plan and the model that they were following, from initially being a Shopify type tool to then saying, no, for the reseller, the biggest problem is supply. So can we solve supply and build a marketplace for that? And even that, the first avatar was a pure tech platform without getting into logistics, without owning the customer experience, to then saying, this is not working as well as we would like, and now we need to own the customer experience. So how do we even help the reseller, help the supplier manage logistics as well, so that the reseller has a great experience? So that level of thoughtfulness and that level of nimbleness was coming from customers, which was great to see. The other thing which I saw during that period was when Vidit and Sanjeev had gone for YC, they had a term sheet to raise couple of $1 million. And last moment that investor pulled out, and this was still a few months before we finally invested. And the resilience I saw in those few months was just amazing, because literally they were running on vapors. There was very little capital left, and every month they would keep growing, no marketing. Vidit would keep sharing those monthly updates. And it was just amazing to see that they are almost out of capital, but all he's thinking about is, what can I do to make the customer experience better? What can I do to make the reseller experience better? Which is again showing up in those numbers. And finally was the traction, which you spoke about in the first part of the show, that when you see such strong signs of product market fit, the business is doubling, retention is so strong, that level of PMF is very, very rare. In today, you don't get that PMF in a Series A company. Sometimes even in Series B, you don't see that level of PMF. So that was the final call to action. Kya kya wait kar rahe hain?
You know, in the previous round, some investor pulled out. Was this the seed round? Because you ended up with $600,000 and I think you were aiming for $2 million. So what happened there, and how did you have to sort of reorient your business?
Yeah, so it happened at YC Demo Day. So when we went to YC, they have a demo day at the end, and some investors come and, by the way, invest in companies. So when the demo day happened, we got a term sheet from an investor. It was an American investor, and we were quite excited that, hey, we got a term sheet of $2 million. Now we came back to India and that money never came, right? And I think that's basically what Mukul is referring to. And it was a tough year after that, because like going to YC is expensive, staying there is expensive. So most companies go there and raise money at demo day, and that's how they build out the business. We raised like nothing, like no capital on demo day. And then we basically found some angels to put some money, which gave us some capital to move forward.
Right.
And I think if I look back now, in hindsight, by the way, it was the best thing that happened to the company. Because when you have less capital, I think you make better decisions, because now you don't have any cushion to basically correct. So now you have to be very conscious about how you spend every single rupee. I think just because we were running out of capital, we said our first product of helping small businesses start shops online, we don't know how we'll make money there. And unless we can make money in something, we can't do it, because we don't have any money left, right? If we had got that $2 million, maybe we would have waited one more year to pivot to the social selling opportunity, and I don't know how the world would have been. So just having limited capital forced us to move fast, iterate fast, and be very intellectually honest when we look at what kind of opportunity we should build after. I think it also brought out the right character within the team. So internally, when I went back and told them that, hey, I told you that a round is happening, but it actually not happening because no money came. What I saw was like most of the team got pumped up. Okay, now we will prove to everyone that without capital also, we can scale this business, we can grow this. And everything else basically turned out as Mukul told us. I think I will also bring another thing here. We've talked a lot about the deck, about the story, but I think a very important element here is getting the right partner. So like many people saw the same deck, many people saw the same email that I used to send out, but very few people could really appreciate the opportunity that we have or the capability that team has, that this team can really focuses on customer experience, can iterate and pivot fast as we learn. Very few people by they could appreciate it, right? So the beauty lies in the eyes of the beholder. That's very true. So I'm saying you can build any deck, you can build any story, you can have any team. Having the right partner, and Mukul, by the way, was that partner for us. That who will really appreciate and understand every nuance of the business. Very few people at that point in time really took phone numbers of our resellers and spoke to them. Okay, tell us what value is Meesho adding to your life. And I think Mukul and his team did it, and they basically came back and said, we spoke to them and we really understand what this can become.
This deck actually we used for our partners meeting later on, but by then we had already decided that we will be going ahead. So still that IC was needed, so that's what the deck was for.
And do you still do the kind of ground research that Vidit spoke about, where you call up resellers and it won't be, you know, similar cohort of people, but for the other investments that you do, Mukul?
100%. So, see, for us, what we have seen is if you look at any special company, I keep coming back to this point around customer obsession, customer centricity, that is at the heart of any large company which gets created, any special company which gets created. And for us to tell whether the team or the founder is customer obsessed or not without actually talking to the customer is impossible. So even today, even if it's a seed check in a company which has been around only for weeks, has a handful of customers, that is the most important part of our diligence, more than the numbers on the slide. So that remains quite core to how we decide whether to invest or not.
Right. You know, I was just telling Vidit in the first part of the show that this deck actually looks very different from what Meesho has evolved to today. You know, looking back on it, should they have, I don't know, without pivoting from this tool to social selling to reselling, what if it was an e-commerce marketplace on day zero? Would that have worked? Or, you know, was this journey needed for them to arrive here? I know hindsight is 20/20, but just thinking aloud.
See, it would not have worked. And the reason for that is, it's not that it's a hypothetical statement. There were multiple people who were trying to build e-commerce platform for Bharat. You mentioned some of the larger players, but there were enough players who raised Series A. On day one, if you are building a consumer platform and trying to compete with an Amazon or Flipkart, it's almost impossible. And that's,
so you have to start with a niche.
You have to start with a niche, and you have to start with a very different go-to-market. So what worked in Meesho's favor was that we were going through these resellers or micro entrepreneurs who were selling to the end customer. So the end consumer at that time was not ready to transact online by themselves. So that GTM really enabled us to both solve the supply side, build the lowest cost supply chain, and understand that consumer really well, and get to a scale where we had the scale, we had a very low cost structure, and more importantly, we had capital. So before we moved to consumer facing platform, we had closed the 200 million plus round from SoftBank. Without that capital, you can't go and start selling to consumers.
You need deep pockets.
Yeah, so in hindsight, there's that universe conspiring to get you to what has to happen. It had to happen this way. There is no other way you could have actually built a consumer facing marketplace if that was the thesis from day one. And bunch of people tried, failed. I don't think we even remember those names anymore.
As an investor, were you comfortable with the fact that Meesho was this company that did a lot of experiments that, you know, pivoted when it was needed. They changed their business model, changed their proposition. Did you have a lot of discussions with Vidit ki bhai ye kya ho raha hai? Matlab, you know, 2017 mein ye bataya, 2018 mein you're telling me this, and 2020 you're telling me this.
So in my mind, that was actually a big source of strength.
He's adapting very quickly.
That he's adapting. And if I look at our move from reseller focused to consumer focused, external world sees it as a pivot. I see it as an evolution. And the question you just asked, actually few people on the board were asking, ki yaar kya ho raha hai? Let's stay reseller focused. Maybe we carve out some budget and let's try it out. But given, thankfully, I was also much closer to Vidit and business, I could see the thinking, and it was obvious that we don't have an option. It is an evolution and we have to move in that direction, because especially post-COVID, this new to internet user started coming online much, much earlier than it would have happened otherwise, when like the offline businesses were shut. And therefore, the writing was on the wall that they will start transacting directly very soon, and we have this opportunity to build a Taobao for India. So it was an evolution. It wasn't a pivot at all, in my view.
No, it's, by the way, like very true. I think as Mukul said, as a company, we've never been very, very emotionally attached to what we've done. Like, I don't think there's any friction to change. We've always believed that if you want to build a large company, you really want to do service to the mission statement we started with. We have to stay bold and take risks as we scale the business. I think a lot of this happens where entrepreneurs and founders try to think big and take risks in the early part of the journey, and then they at some point in time start to think about, like, hey, if I do this, what if something goes wrong? What if this happens? What if that happens? I think as a company, we've always stayed very intellectually honest to what does the market need us to do, how is the market changing, and what should we do.
Actually, it goes back to again that customer-centricity leading to design choices and thoughtfulness in decisions. So everyone started from different starting points. So Meesho started from a Shopify for resellers. There were a couple of other players. You mentioned Shop101, which was trying to do that. Some people were trying to say, hey, this commerce is happening on Facebook pages. Can we create something similar? So Glowroad was trying that. But what stood out was that, okay, these are different starting points. Who is able to figure out what the customer really needs and weave that into their design choices? So within 12 months or so, Meesho had figured it out. And then everyone else started seeing their traction numbers. And they were trying to follow, but follow reluctantly. Ki yaar, ye numbers toh yahan achhe aa rahe hain, toh kuch toh ho raha hai, let us try it. But they still did not have the belief. And then it was very clear that clearly, Vidit and Sanjeev, they are the ones who are figuring out the pulse of the market, pulse of the consumer, making the right choices and racing ahead. So at that time, it was very clear this was the team we wanted to partner with.
Right. When I asked Vidit about the most important slides for him, he kind of skipped through, you know, the first four. And right, he said the most important slides for him were the parts where he spoke, where he kind of showed consistent growth, right? Every month, their numbers were doubling. User engagement, and more importantly, the retention metrics, the reseller retention and GMV retention.
Yeah.
And he said it was important for them to establish this because while they had very good academic and corporate credentials, they were not entrepreneurs before, they hadn't done commerce before.
Right.
What stood out for you, Mukul?
See, so I'll
apart from the IIT Delhi JEE rank.
IIT Delhi JEE rank, to dekho, we knew it December 2015. So obviously it was so that helped with the first quick call, but then it was a journey. Coming back to your question, I'll answer it in two parts. One is specific to Meesho, where like Vidit said, for us also, eventually it was these traction metrics and such strong signs of PMF. Combination of this plus the reseller interviews that we did and hearing how much their life had changed because of Meesho, and a lot of people were actually even in those early days becoming resellers because of Meesho, because now it was so easy to source that they thought, why not get into this as an additional source of income. But if I step back, the second part I would say is, for a young founder today, if you have this level of traction, nothing like it, but it's very, very rare.
Why do you think that is?
When you are going to raise a seed round with limited capital, can you really get to this traction? In, I would say, outlier cases, yes. In 9 out of 10 cases, no. especially when you are raising a seed round. And therefore, if you are in a market which is non-obvious, which was the case here as well, it felt like a niche market. Most of us are not consumers who are buying through resellers. So therefore, that first-hand appreciation of the market is low. What is important is how do you still build conviction in the opportunity? And that's why if you look at this deck, actually out of the 17 slides, first 5 slides are on market opportunity. That why is this market real, this reseller behavior is happening, why it could be better. And then again it ends with this slide I really like, and there is some, I would say, hindsight bias also. But if you look at slide 15 and putting it on this map and saying that this is a new distribution channel getting created, and if we get it right, we are talking about a potential similar to Amazon or Flipkart, which is what has played out today. So in a non-obvious market, how do you help investors get over this feeling that, hey, is it niche, is it exciting enough or not, by sharing proof points around the market size, by sharing those global comps you spoke about. So those days VDN was a hot China company, so showing those comparables, showing what are the things which are on the GTM side interesting, so that they get interested enough to then go and do deeper work. So again, I'm saying if you have traction, nothing like it. If you don't have traction, you have to put in that hard work to get people over the line on market opportunity.
Right. Where Meesho is today, Vidit, will it be in that place a year or two later? What other changes do you anticipate? You've entered fashion, you're now going big on grocery. Will that be the next bet for you, the Bharat grocery, or solving for Bharat?
No, I think we are. Actually, just to kind of, before I go deep into grocery, as a company, we continue to do lots of experiments, right? Yeah. So, as I said, like, we believe that you have to stay ahead of how the market is changing. And one of the opportunity there is definitely grocery, right? Why? Because so far, if you see, grocery has mostly been solved with all the online grocery models focused on the top 50 million consumers, right? Convenience, selection, that's what has been focused on. But if you look at like Bharat, the kind of consumer that we serve, which is the next...
Affordability
is very important. And I don't think people have really solved that problem. So we believe that someone will eventually solve that problem, which is what we are trying to do. But still very early, at a very experiment stage. So I don't think we are at a place where we can go out and like truly expand this model yet. I think it's still lots of things to be figured out. And like this, by the way, we are always running like 10-15 experiments that we believe may not matter as much today, but 10 years forward could be very large opportunities, large businesses themselves. So yeah, that's what we continue doing. I think we will continue to be there. We are a very paranoid company. We care about how the world will be, not just in the next year, 2 years, but the next 5 and 10 years. And as a company, we continue to focus on innovation. That really matters.
I think like the book says, no, only the paranoid survive, by Andy Grove. But Mukul, if you look at the wide e-commerce market, do you still see scope for newer business models? So if an entrepreneur or a startup wants to pitch to you in 2024, 2025, what should the deck look like? What will excite you? Because you spoke about what excited you about Meesho then.
Right.
What would excite you today? Or is it, you know, has it been tapped out? Marketplace models, there have been experiments.
Right.
You know, social commerce have been experiments. Some of them haven't worked. What else, I mean, what's left to do when it comes to e-commerce?
Right. So, see, even if you go back to 2017, when the Meesho, we partnered, even at that time, the narrative was similar. There are horizontals, there are verticals. So is there a white space or not? So are there obvious white spaces left? I would say no. But that's been the same for last 4-5 years.
Because the verticalized also, there are established players.
Correct.
Yeah.
Having said that, are there inflection points which are happening? There are, and therefore, so let me give you a few examples. One is obviously the whole Gen AI, LLM inflection point, and therefore, can that help people create a different user experience and a different shopping experience? Now, L2 of that, I would not know. Just like even in those days, L2 of Meesho, I would not have known that a reseller say you'll be able to unlock the Bharat market. It took a founder like Vidit, but some founder will figure out that with this inflection point, how can commerce be different, and therefore, how do I ride on this? Similarly, if I look at the top 30, 40, 50 million consumers, most businesses have been built for those, but of those, if you look at the top 2-3 million consumers, their needs are evolving fast. And these platforms are being built for the top 50, whereas the top 2-3 million are willing to pay more premium. They are looking for even better experience. So can you build businesses for them? For example, can there be a Whole Foods equivalent of India? Whole Foods was offline first, which in India will be very hard given how expensive that prime real estate is. But can there be a hybrid Whole Foods of India which can be built? So net opportunities are there. There are some of these inflection points, but they are not obvious.
Right. Final thoughts from both of you. Vidit, what would your advice be to a founder preparing a deck broadly? What should they do? The three things that they need to get right.
I don't think there's one single answer to this question. As I said, like the discussion we had is for our kind of business, which is a non-obvious opportunity by a team that does not have experience in this opportunity. Right. So in this case, as I said, what we did in our case is we built trust and credibility through traction and performance. So that's number one. But if you are someone who have experience in the sector that you're starting in, right, like you have 15 years of experience, maybe you will start with the experience
showcasing
of the
your
team
experience
on slide one.
Yeah.
Right. It will not be, you can maybe even raise capital pre-product. In our case, could we have done it? The answer is no. Like, why would someone fund a very non-obvious opportunity in a team that has never done e-commerce before, say you go out and pre-product raise capital? I think it would have been tougher. So I think it's also quite contextual for this kind of business. So if you are someone like us, which is you're starting a non-obvious business, right, or opportunity, and you are young and have no credentials in the space where you're starting in, I would say build out a product, show some traction, prove that this opportunity can be large enough through some of that traction, the quality of traction, the scale of that traction. I think second is, once you do that, second is like really clarifying the story, right? Bringing as much clarity as you can. We had no idea of how this market opportunity would evolve, but even otherwise we talked about why is social selling significant, how big this can be, what are we really solving, which is we very clearly mentioned, as Mukul was mentioning, that this could be the big distribution channel to bring next 500 million shoppers online. To some extent, that's what we did. So I'm saying just bringing that clarity around why is this significant sometimes is also important. A lot of times people just stay into the details but can't zoom out and bring simplicity to that story so that people can absorb and make sense to it. Right? So I would say that would be the number two. If I have to pick number three is, you just, as I said, right, it's about the right partner. So you have to find a partner who can appreciate the story. So spend time, don't just meet any two people and they don't like it. Suddenly, I don't know if this can get funded. I think we got rejected for our Series A by every single investor apart from Mukul. So I think we would have met like some 100 people, right?
Wow.
So we had to be patient enough to get 99 rejections before we get someone who understands what this can be. So also spend time in finding that person who relates with it, appreciates what you're doing, because it's a long journey, by the way. Like Mukul came on board now about 7 years ago, 7.5 years ago, right? It's, you work with someone with this like forever. It's a long journey. Finding the right partner who can stick with you when you are changing the business, when you're adapting to new market conditions, getting the right person is very important. So I would say that's the third most important thing when someone is thinking about raising capital for their seed round.
Mukul, you know, Vidit laid out the three principles that, you know, or his advice for entrepreneurs. What would your tips or tricks be?
Yeah, no, I think Vidit has pretty comprehensively covered most of the points. I'll add a few tactical things. One is just in terms of sort of length of the pitch deck. Which again, if you see, this is like a 17 pager, that 15-20 is the right length, especially if you are preparing a deck for an in-person meeting. The moment someone opens a deck and it says page 2 of 52, I get worried, ki, are, how will we get through? So, which also shows as a founder, are you able to prioritize and say, okay, these are the things which matter and these
you're
are the things I want to...
Everything.
Everything without these slides being busy. If you look at this deck, these are not busy slides. These are very simple slides,
yeah,
but they communicate what needs to be communicated for a company at that stage. So it's that 15-20 page is typically ideal. And second, just building on what Vidit said, is being very clear that on the investor's mind, what could be the biggest things which are going in my favor as a founder? It could be market traction, etc. What could be the biggest blockers? And taking both of those head on, use these in your favor, that okay, these are the things which are going for me, I'll take them head on. But also, if you know things are going to be blockers, take them head on, address them. Don't wait that someone will ask a question and then I'll address, because if you have slides, you are better prepared to go through either data or evidence to make your point. So those are just a couple of other things I would add, but otherwise Vidit's pretty comprehensively covered what founders should keep in mind.
Great. Vidit and Mukul, thank you very much for joining us on this episode of PitchCraft. It was great going through the Meesho deck. And if you need to go through this deck or download it, just log in to c2scale.in. You'll find the deck and you can listen to Vidit and Mukul explain the thought process behind the Meesho deck.
Money Control presents PitchCraft in collaboration with C2Scale.